Senior Program Officer for the Institute of Medicine's Roundtable on Value and Science-Driven Healthcare. She supports the Roundtable's work in clinical effectiveness and health IT. Previously, she was Program Evaluator at the California Breast Cancer Research Program and has a PhD in Biomedical Sciences from the University of California. So thank you, Claudia.
All right, thank you, Justine, and Vicki, and everyone for this opportunity. So I'm going to just talk briefly and at a pretty high level, as we are wont to do at the Institute of Medicine, and let my colleagues dive into some more of the specifics. So again, my name is Claudia Grossman. I work for the Institute of Medicine's Roundtable on Value in Science-Driven Healthcare, and I'm going to talk a little bit about the learning health system and specifically about the digital data component and needs of such a system. So as we are required to do, I have to declare that I have no financial relationships to disclose. But I'm going to start by giving a little bit of sense of the context and how we think about the current context that faces the health and healthcare systems in our country. You're probably all very familiar with the idea that we have a system that gives quite low value. We spend a lot of money on our healthcare, and our outcomes, as compared to other developed countries, are actually quite bad. In addition to this, we have increasing complexity. The number of factors that are involved in the health and healthcare decisions that need to be made every day are increasing exponentially, from proteomics to genomics, and data is part of this context. Now, it's not all bad. There are, along with challenges come opportunities, and there are two in particular that I wanted to point out to set the stage. One is the possibility and the opportunities that are come upon with the greater improvement driven through health IT. So greater adoption of EHRs, for example, the possibilities that are presented with mobile apps and mobile devices. And then we have an increased capacity for knowledge generation. And what I mean by this is that we are getting better and better at innovating on methods and figuring out ways to make sense of the data that is contained in these EHR systems and other technology systems. So with this as a background, the work of the roundtable over the last 7 years has been focused around seeking the development of what we call a learning health system. And the way we define this is where science, informatics, incentives, and culture align for continuous improvement and innovation. And this is really a feedback loop. And the two halves of that loop are, on the one hand, best practices that are seamlessly embedded in the delivery process. And then on the other hand, new knowledge that is captured as an integral byproduct of the delivery experience. And I'll get into a little bit more detail about what that means. But just to give a little bit more specifics about what we do at the roundtable, and I'm happy to talk more about this if anybody's interested in hearing about it, we've taken this idea, this vision of a learning health system, and then moved through a series of workshop summaries and reports to detail some of the specific issues that are necessary to play out. So what is the role of patients and the public? What are the components of cost and value that are important to think about? And then last year, in 2012, the IOM convened a consensus committee looking back on the past work of the roundtable to detail a path for the country, for organizations, to move towards best care for lower cost, which is the name of that report. The day-to-day work of the roundtable focuses in that band of six circles that are about collaborative action, and that's where sort of you all come into play. We have an opportunity for everybody to get involved in helping us move the country and the nation and individual organizations towards this vision of better value and better outcomes and more controlled costs. So the norm, just to set a little bit more context and give you a sense for how we came to this vision, there are three general processes that the way we think about it happen in order to inform healthcare decision making. There's science, evidence, and care. Science, some of the problems that are associated with it, for example, are that insights are generally poorly managed. Everybody's heard the 17-year bench to bedside quote estimate. Evidence, when it exists, and often it doesn't, but when it does, it's often poorly used. And then care, the experience is often not captured. So care is delivered, but we don't necessarily put a lot of effort into capturing that and then learning from that. And so the patient experience just sort of happens. And as a result of that, the patient experience is often not what it could be. Patients, communities, and clinicians are, of course, part of this mix, but they're not at the center of it, and that's a problem. And so one of the results of this is that there are opportunities that are missed, waste that is created, and as the IOM has detailed 11 years ago now, but continue to happen, is that there is a lot of harm that is produced in this not particularly well-integrated system. So the vision is this circle, which is a continuously learning health system where care, science, and evidence learn from each other, feed into each other, inform each other. Patients, communities, and clinicians are at the center of the system, and it's supported by a facilitating culture, leadership which champions the view of continuous improvement, and then incentives which are aligned to facilitate this and the process. So last year, we did one of these deeper dives into looking at some of the components of what is necessary for a learning health system, and we looked specifically at digital data and what the priorities for improvement need to be. And one of the major conclusions that came out of that is that digital data is really the lifeblood of a learning health system. And we went on to say that the totality of available health data is a crucial resource that has to be considered an invaluable public asset in the pursuit of better care, improved health, and lower healthcare costs. And I think we'll hear a little bit more about that in one of my colleagues' presentations as well. But getting more specifically into the components of a learning health system that are important for the conversation that we're going to have today, well, there's digital technology, the engine for continuous improvement. Why? Because it helps facilitate the collection of information as well as the delivery of best practices. The data utility, which I talked about, this vision of the totality of information, which is really a utility that can be used, needs to be stewarded and should be put towards the common good. And then, of course, you don't do very much with data. What you need is knowledge. You need the translation of that data into knowledge as a seamless product of services and, of course, with a robust research component. So what does health data needs to be? Reliable, secure, and reusable, because what we're advocating or we're suggesting is not that we need to collect a lot more data, but that we need to be smarter in the way that it is reused or used, period. And where does this data come from? It comes from some of the traditional sources, so hospitals, community doctors' offices, certainly payers and purchasers have a lot of data, research, clinical trials, and of course public health surveillance. But increasingly, it comes from places like social media, mobile devices, apps, sensors, public health records, and portals. And I think we all know that it's expected that very quickly this data from outside the health system is going to overwhelm the amount of data in the health system, in the healthcare system itself, which suggests that we're going to have new, different kinds of data to think about. So opportunities to think more about social determinants and built environment are becoming increasingly possible. And I want to suggest that it's really in the integration of these data sources where you get the maximum bang for your buck. So it's thinking about how to link clinical systems data with public health surveys, and of course getting a sense of cost, because you can't think about value if you can't assess cost. So all of this is to say that I think, and I don't think this will surprise anyone, that we are shifting to a world where more health decisions at all levels are going to be driven by data. And driven by data, I don't necessarily mean evidence-based in the traditional sense, but the velocity, the volume, all of the V words that make up the definition of big data, which I'm sure you've all heard about, and if you believe McKinsey, it's going to save us billions of dollars, and cancer doctors are using CancerLink to help it define, help it inform their decisions, and certainly hospitals are using it to help them drive their decisions. It has implications for the traditional way that we think about how information informs decisions. There's more of it, it's faster, it's at the point of decision, and so I think there's a lot of challenges and opportunities that come from that, and that's what I'll close on. Some of the challenges and opportunities associated with this are certainly getting a better understanding for what data we have. What are the data sources? What are they good for? What kind of high priority questions are they good at asking, and with what methods? What are the pros and cons? Because all methods have pros and cons. And of course, filling gaps where we lack data. There's a huge opportunity here for improving quality and patient orientation and utility of data. So collecting and providing information that patients care about as a way of drawing them more closely into the decisions and their health generally. And also, this increased accessibility provides a great opportunity to broaden the usability of this data and really democratize the use and analysis of information. And with all this, it's important to, of course, maintain context, because data cannot be well understood without understanding its context. And the way that we think about it is thinking about what are some of the core data elements that might be collected in a systematic way across many different systems to get maximum usability and inform the implications and decisions that we think about. And then my final slide is to really build a capacity, use this data to build a capacity for direct patient engagement. And a huge component of this is, of course, building trust. This data is sensitive, it's private, we know that. But there are a lot of assumptions that are made about the way that patients and people think about the use of their data. And we have some initial research actually to suggest that patients expect that their data is being used, not just to help them and not just to help patients like them, but actually in a much broader way to help better understand diseases and even to help produce medical products. So we really need to develop a mutual understanding for the expectations around confidentiality, privacy, and security so that the policies can better reflect them. And then I will jump to the last one, which is the need to really improve the access, tools, and capacity for data analytics. And I touched on this very briefly in thinking about how to democratize and really open up the use of this data by creating more inclusive tool sets, the need to really curate these data sources, and then, again, the crucial importance of the ability to integrate data as a way to maximally leverage it. And so I just want to take 1 second to say that if this sounds interesting to you, there is a reception that's going on tomorrow night around the learning health community, which is not necessarily, it's not an IOM-led event, but it's a community that has sort of come out of a lot of the work that we are doing. And so if you're interested in learning more about it, it's in room 150 tomorrow from 6:30 to 8. No need to RSVP, but Josh Rubin, who's sitting there in the blue shirt, can tell you more about that. So thank you, and I'm happy to take any questions.